Hey, what's up? It's The Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Derek Piper, Kyle Tosk, Lante will be joining us as we go along. Got a lot of college hoops to talk about with the opening night last night. Illinois getting their first one in the books. A little dicey early, Kyle. It was not pretty early.
Some
ugly basketball for a while. I think the stat at some point, Illinois was shooting 7% from three, 25% from the free throw line.
I thought I was watching last year's team for about 10 minutes.
Yeah. Looked like it. I think it had myself and a lot of people out there being like, they really beat Kansas? Are we sure? That was the same team? That was the same team that came out and beat the number one ranked team in the country, and then they came out on opening night against Eastern Illinois and looked like that for a while. But it was just one game. They end up winning comfortably, 80-52. Darn near, depending on if anybody was dabbling with the spread, they were pretty much right on it as far as 28 points with that victory. It was a weird night in the Big Ten, and we'll talk more about that as we go along. Michigan State following in their opener, the number four ranked Spartans losing to James Madison on their home court. You had Rutgers lose to Princeton on opening night. You had some other teams, you know, dabbling with it, like Ohio State getting taken to the wire by Oakland.
Do we need to be concerned about Friday now?
An Oakland team that is apparently going to shoot a ton of threes, and I had forgotten for a brief moment that Rocket Watts was still playing and that he's on that team. That's what Brad Underwood said last night in the postgame. I got to double check that. Let me.
That's crazy.
Let me confirm this.
I think you're right, actually.
Yeah, Rocket Watts didn't make a shot last night though. 0 points, 0 for 5. Get this, they had one guy on their team, this being Oakland. He went 6 for 18 from the field. All 18 shots were from 3.
My goodness.
But they only lost by 6 points at Ohio State. Binghamton was challenging Northwestern for a while and made that one tight. But let's start off with Illinois, obviously. Talk about the takeaways that we can come away with following Illinois' opener. On the bright side, let's start with that, because you win by 28 points, you get that victory in the column, and you're able to move on. And there were some things that Illinois did well last night. We got a number of things that I want to kind of nitpick and say, hey, this is what needs to be cleaned up. But Draven Gibbs-Lawhorn didn't play a lot against Kansas, 3 minutes against the Jayhawks. You've heard probably a lot of good things in terms of his potential as an athletic guard, a guy that's wired to score. And if you were in the building last night or watching on Big Ten stream, he goes for 18, and he really sparked you in a moment where Illinois was struggling offensively. They're losing to Eastern in the middle of the first half. Draven goes for 3 straight buckets right at the rim on all of them, had a putback, had 2 takes then right after that in transition, and he really –
had an insane block, too, where he got up.
Yeah.
Second time in 2 lower-level games that he's had one of those.
That's right. Good call. I mean, he is bouncy. He's got a lot of potential. Now, it's one game. Adam Miller came in against Chicago State, I think, in his first game, scored 28. I remember him telling the reporters, hey, you know, you guys get used to this because I plan on doing this a lot. It didn't play out that way. But there will be tougher competition down the road. But in terms of showing Brad some stuff in this week, which we talked about yesterday, Kyle, as far as just giving Brad a feel of what it's going to look like when Marquette comes to town, who do I trust? Who are guys that I know are going to be ready for the moment? And for the freshmen, just letting them get their feet wet. And on that note as well, and I'll throw it to you, Imani Hansberry, very productive, another guy that didn't play a lot against Kansas. But in his 14 minutes, 7 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, he hit a 3. Those were your top 2 standout players on a night when your starters didn't seem to bring it early and on the whole kind of left a decent amount to be desired.
Yeah, Dre Gibbs-Lawhorn to me was the star of the game, because I think you needed a guy like him to come in there and just spark you. He almost, to me, he gives me the vibe of a guy who can play kind of the Sincere Harris role from last year, but not in terms of skill set. Obviously, they're really different players, but I think of Sincere last year, and there were some questions about how much he was going to play coming into the year. And he came in and he just changed games with that defensive intensity that he brought, erasing opposing guards, just energy filled, comes in, elevates the energy on the court or the entire team. I feel like Dre on the offensive side can play kind of a similar role, where maybe he's not going to get 20, 25 minutes every game, but there's going to be certain games like last night where you're just, you can't get going offensively. Your starters don't have it. Coleman's struggling. Terrence is taking a while to get going. Put Dre in the game, and he can change the entire course of the way of the game with his ability to just get you some buckets and come in and provide an offensive spark. And I thought you shouldn't have needed that type of spark against Eastern Illinois last night. I would have liked to see the starters play a lot better than they did. But you just needed somebody to come in there and spark you and put the ball in the basket for you, because the offense left a lot to be desired early, and Dre was that guy. And I'm excited just knowing that, you know, obviously we need to see him do it against higher-level competition, no question. He's had two games against Ottawa and Eastern in which he's looked really explosive and really exciting offensively, and he didn't against Kansas. But watching him play, I'm excited about what he can bring, even if it's not in a starting role or a role where you know you're going to have him 25 minutes every night. Like, you got a guy who's a spark plug and a guy that can light up the stat sheet in terms of points and scoring. I think that could be really valuable this season, and I really hope that he's a guy that sticks around, because he just screams massive offensive potential. Mm-hmm. The athleticism, the bounce, the ability to get to the basket. He knocked a couple shots down, and he was feeling himself, and you could see that he was really confident, and I hope that he plays with that confidence all year and every time he gets in there, because that was exciting.
Yeah, no, I think he's got a fearlessness to him for sure. I don't think he's going to back down from anybody. Now, there's going to be some moments where he'll be maybe a little too quick-triggered and err on the side of aggression, and you'll live with that, and Brad will pick his spots in terms of when he's trying to put him out there, given the circumstance. And he's going to make some mistakes. He's going to take some bad shots. But at the same time, he's going to have some real flash plays. He's going to have some moments where he's going to spark you. And you mentioned Sincere Harris there. We're going to get into it as we go throughout the show. But Sincere Harris, one of the big storylines out of last night, and really a surprising one, is that Sincere Harris has elected to redshirt this year. So someone that not expected to have some massive role off the bench for you this year. We know that he's, like you said, an igniter, an energy guy, one of those guys that last year really turned the tide for you in some big moments. And I want to, as we go along, we'll talk more about Sincere's decision and what that means for Illinois, and obviously for Sincere himself, big picture for his development and the rest of his college career. But I think with that provides an opportunity for Draven Gibbs-Lawhorn to step into more of a bigger role and have an opportunity to be that energy guy. And I think it's easy. And look, he's with his offensive skill, and he is someone that I would categorize as a score first guard, although I do compliment him for, outside of just 18 points, which is a game high, he had 3 assists. He was able to also have a block. He was also able to have a steal. I think he's got everything from an athletic standpoint that you would want out of an impact defender. It's just him kind of learning where, and just his competitive makeup. That's a really competitive dude. He plays with a chip on his shoulder, and he's gonna bring it. It's whether he's in the right spots, whether he's reading certain things that, you know, players pick up as they play in games and kind of just get that feel for the game and that veteran savvy about him. There's some of that he's going to have to go through and learn and obviously experience some growing pains along the way. But that was encouraging. I mean, I think that when you look at a game like this, you're playing what's considered one of the worst teams in Division I. No matter, you know, good, bad, and different out of Terrence Shannon last night, Coleman Hawkins last night, on down the line out of your transfers who played a ton of college basketball. Well, we're going to have reactions in one way or the other about how each individual guy played. The most was to be gained from these freshmen finally getting on the court in a game that counts. And what do they look like under the bright lights? How do they perform? Yes, the competition will only get tougher, especially starting next week against Marquette, but getting those guys those valuable experiences, getting them confidence. I don't necessarily think Gibbs-Lawhorn needs added confidence, but no. In terms of just kind of feeling like he's in a flow and, okay, this is familiar to me. I've scored a lot of points at other stops in my career. Now I'm here in an Illinois jersey, and I showed myself that I can do it. That's of great value as you push forward.
Yeah, I mean, it was – that's what this first week to me was all about, was – not the veteran guys, not the guys that we know exactly what we're going to get from those guys. Now, I do want to see Coleman play a lot better than he did last night. I do want to see Marcus Damask not shoot 1 for 6 from 3 like he did last night. But I'm pretty confident that those things aren't going to continue. I wanted to see, especially coming off the Kansas game. Now, again, you're still not going to get maybe the picture you want to see if the freshmen and the bench guys really get going against Eastern Illinois. Mm-hmm. You want to see them contribute against high major opponents. That'll come down the line. But this first week to me, EIU Oakland on Friday night, was about those guys stepping up, those guys proving to Brad they deserve more minutes and should play more minutes than they played in that Kansas game. Because that Kansas game to me was kind of the preview to me of where if that was a game that counted against Kansas, or if Marquette was going to be at State Farm Center last Sunday, that's what his rotation would have looked like, or pretty close to it. And so I think this week was about, yeah, getting some of those guys going. It was great to see Luke Goody come in, go 3 for 5 from three, who is going to join the show at 4:05, by the way.
Nice tease.
And that was great to see from him. I thought Dane was, Dane didn't play a whole lot, but when he was in, I thought he did what he has done in the past where he looked pretty good.
Felt like he should have got the ball more.
He should have got, when he got the ball, he was great, but he didn't really get it all that much. But I thought he was good. And then, you mentioned Hansberry already. And so I was encouraged by that. We can talk about, some of the struggles of the starting unit, but I thought almost everybody that was kind of in question, when we were talking about how the minutes were distributed and the younger guys against Kansas, I thought all those guys flashed and looked pretty good and did what you would hope to see from them against a team like Eastern. So I was encouraged by that, and it will be interesting to see, if Dre Gibbs-Lawhorn plays great again against Oakland on Friday, if Hansberry comes in and impacts and gets 8 rebounds in 12 minutes, whatever he had, how does that change how Brad goes about that Marquette game? I'll be interested to see, but I think that's really what this week's about, is seeing what you got from some of those guys that you're not totally sure how big a role they're going to play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd even add in, I think Nico Moretti had some flashes. I think playmaking-wise, you can see kind of the energy that the ball has when it's in his hands. I think he's got good vision. He had 3 assists. On the other side of it, he had 3 turnovers, and I know that Brad was on him a little bit, just about being more solid. I think that's something that he's going to continue to evaluate, particularly between him and Gibbs-Lawhorn, is as a backup point guard option, who can he trust with the ball and in their hands to run the offense, to make good decisions. And while right now, the small sample size is Ty's the primary quote-unquote point guard, Marcus DeMastin slots in on the ball when he's out of the game. At least that's what we saw a lot of against Kansas. How did those other guys kind of shape up in terms of that rotation and just those options for Brad Underwood on his plate? Yes, Luke Goody joining us at 4:05, 9 points, 6 rebounds. On the whole, Illinois, especially in the first half, really left a lot to be desired on the glass.
The second chance points for Eastern early in that game, I thought Brad was going to explode. I thought we were going to get another viral video that floats all across social media. Can you believe that this a coach would do this? Because I thought Brad was going to lose it when there was about the fourth straight second chance bucket that EIU scored early in that game.
Yep. Credit to Luke, though, getting it done on the glass. We'll talk to him about that and just overall feelings on their opening night performance. But let's go to the negative. And we touched on it there with rebounding. This team just didn't have a lot of energy and bite to them early. And it did feel like there were parallels to last season. And again, you look around the Big Ten, you look around college basketball, like Radford, even though I think James Herring, shout out to him, he's a friend of the show, staffer for Radford, was giving North Carolina a run for their money for a while in that game. And you're going to see some low major teams, mid major teams have some runs against a high major, whether they're just not playing great basketball, whether they're not making shots, or maybe, and there's a certain circumstance where they're overlooking a team. And I think it was kind of a classic letdown spot, even though you don't want to have that happen on your season opener. You don't want to have it happen when you're trying to turn the page from last year. You're trying to set new standards. You're trying to show that the chemistry is better and on down the line. And in the first game that counts, you kind of come out lackluster and with a dud of an effort, especially from your starting five. But I'll say it is that you beat Kansas, the number one ranked team in the country. And naturally, I don't care what sport you're talking about, there's a natural trap to fall into that some teams do to then let down when you see the next team and it's not one that, gets your eyes wide in terms of the name on the front of the jersey. Now, I'm not excusing that. We talked about it yesterday. One of the main things that I wanted to see from Illinois was come out with a killer mentality, show that you don't care who the other team is on the other side. You want to assert your will on that team and really just establish a new era, new feel, new vibes around this current iteration of the Illini. And I like Terrence Shannon scoring 2 points in the first 17 minutes. That doesn't sit great with me. Now, to his credit, yep, he got it going.
I thought towards the end of the half when it was closing time, who's going to get the momentum of this game heading into the locker room. I liked seeing that he just said, all right, it's my time now. I'm going to take this over, and then coming out of the locker room too. But I do agree. Early wasn't great.
Yeah, 16 points, and he ends up shooting. I mean, his stat line looks fine in the end of it. 16 points, 5 rebounds, 5 for 10 from the field, hit 3 threes, 3 for 8 from the free throw line. And we're going to talk about the free throw line, which that's kind of where it's it's a little bit of a deja vu of people on Twitter last night. I'm sure we're going to have it on the text line. You know, the free throw shooting, the 3-point shooting, the lackluster early effort. Like, it is drawing comparisons to last year as well. So I'm not saying that – I'm not here to tell you the vibes are off. I'm not here to tell you that this team is going to be a roller coaster ride and buckle in, that type of thing. But I just think that – I think that's something that Brad's going to take to the practice court the next couple of days, is say, you know, hey, you guys have talked a lot about, you know, we obviously use the mantra everyday guys. We want to talk about being different this year, how everything's different in terms of, you know, our mentality, and we learned a lot from last year. And you go out there in the first 10 to 15 minutes against the Eastern team that would be lucky to win double-digit games this year, and you didn't play that well. They were up on you and out toughing you on the glass, and that's where Coleman comes into play. Like, I felt like he got pushed around a little bit on the inside, like going up against Jermaine Hamlin
outplayed him last night.
I mean, that's not good. That's not good. I mean, maybe Coleman looks at the scouting report and it says Jermaine Hamlin 3 points and 2 rebounds a game last year. I saw him a lot in practice. He's obviously at it, not to rag on Jermaine, but he's at a different level for a reason. And I can kind of coast a little bit. And that's what Coleman seemed to look to do. He had a couple of turnovers, some of those head-scratching, frustrating mistakes with the ball in his hands as well. Small sample size. But I'll say this about Coleman. I don't want to rag on him too much. I think, you know, Lon pointed it out here recently that he is a lightning rod for criticism. I think with the fan base, because he has, he's an emotional dude. He's got some frustrating mistakes in his game. He's got some inconsistencies, but I'll point this out, and I think it's fair when you praise him as we did after the Kansas win, when he played great, and I use the line, you know, he shoots the three like that, and he spaces the floor as effectively as he does. That looks like a first round draft pick. I think we got to get away from that. I think we got to let it breathe with Coleman Hawkins, because the overall sample size shows us that he has been too inconsistent, that we can't have some broad takeaway about one really good night from Coleman is who he's going to be. And he's not who he was last night either. It's just, there's a wide range of outcomes of who Coleman Hawkins can be on a given night. And until he shows enough consistency where, hey, he's going to shoot above 28% from three, which was what he shot last year, he's just going to be more solid at the offensive end. To then, I don't want to sit here and say, hey, he could be a first-round pick. He has to prove that with his consistency. He's better than he was last night, but that's something that when you get in the heat of a Big Ten schedule, yeah, maybe you're playing Nebraska, maybe you're playing Penn State. Hey, maybe you're in the NCAA tournament and you're a 4 seed, you're playing a 13, and the name on the front doesn't wow you a whole lot. You can't have one of your leaders, one of your top guys, come out there and look like they're just kind of meh. Is that fair?
Yeah, it is. I felt like the whole starting lineup kind of gave that vibe to me early on, and Coleman never really got it going as a couple of the other guys did, but it for the first 15 minutes of the game, it felt like I was watching last year's team again. They shot like 1 of 13 from 3 in the first 15 minutes of the game. Just those slow, flat starts that we were accustomed to. Maybe it is like you're saying that, you know, coming, they were up for that Kansas game. Number one coming in here on, you know, on TV for this charity exhibition game. We're going to get up for this one. Eastern Illinois coming in here, we're not. It might be as simple as that, but it just felt like the... you know, I think Coleman had a poor night, and I agree with that. I also think he wasn't alone. Everybody around him, it was the same story in terms of just flat and
yes.
just didn't feel like they were ready to play early in that game. I was wondering if they realized that the game had started for a little bit.
Yeah, I didn't want to make it seem like, you know, Coleman's the only guy. Quincy Guerrier plays 20 minutes. He has one rebound.
Yeah.
Like, that can't happen. He's coming in as a 24-year-old guy, expected to be this physical presence on the glass. Eastern should be outmatched inside, and that's not enough production. Damask, I'm not going to – you know, he didn't make shots. I don't think Marcus Damask came in, you know, half asleep or anything. He goes 1-for-6 from three, but you want better from him, obviously. Ty Rogers got in early foul trouble. I think kind of just on the whole still, you're wondering.
Just haven't seen anything really from him yet.
Yeah. That's pretty much the way to put it, especially in the context of a quote-unquote point guard. That's where that's why I'm going to start using more and more quote-unquote point guard. I don't feel like he is a point guard. And that's going to be a victory lap moment for a lot of people. And look, the evaluation's not done. There's a lot of season left. But I think that we've talked about it increasingly in recent weeks, particularly after having opportunities to see them in exhibition games, is that this team is not treating him as a ball in the hand, playmake for everybody type of guy. He's out there to guard point guards in a lot of situations. Well, actually, Terrence drew the assignment a lot last night on Tiger Booker, and Ty was guarding an off guard. But there's situations where he's going to play in ball screens. He's going to be a connector offensively. He can get to the rim, which he did a couple of times in the first half. But, you know, Marcus Damask has 3 assists. Raven Gibbs-Lawhorn has 3 assists. Ty has 0. And I just think that he's not in that role when, you know, Ty says that he's going to be the point guard. It's not what that maybe immediately popped in your head. Okay, a bunch of ball screens for Ty. And I think that's becoming more and more clear, if not very, very apparent at this point.
Lon's here.
Hi, guys.
Hey, what's up?
Sorry again about this. I don't know why this keeps happening, but it is.
Did your
just happens on a 70-degree day where?
Oh, I see you. I respect it.
So you're right.
I noticed a little bit more tan on your cheeks.
Yeah. Oh, Lon's just out cruising the country with his windows down, listening to you guys.
Yeah.
Can I simplify this real quick? Everything you've said is dead on, right? I have watched so much basketball. So have you, Pipes. Kyle, you're not old enough. I have watched so many early season games for teams that are better, and you knew going in that Illinois is 30 points better than Eastern. And sometimes these kind of games just happen. And I know that's way oversimplifying it, and it's not fair because it's not breaking down what you guys just accomplished, like Guerrier not getting rebounds. That's effort, right? I mean, we've always said it, rebounding is effort. There's some luck to it. There's some times where it falls to you, or you might be the guy boxing your guy out while everybody else is getting the stats, you know, on that end. But I feel like Illinois just kind of, it was a game that they're going to win by 30. And so they sleptwalked through a lot of it. And if nothing else, you got a good view of the rest of the bench and a lot of those guys that, those are the question marks, right? How good can this person be? Can Dre Gibbs-Lawhorn, can he step in now that Sincere has made his announcement? So things like that, I feel like, in a weird way, Brad Underwood got home last night and said, you know, my team, the way they started was ridiculous, but I'm not concerned about it because they started right against Kansas. And now, do you do this all the time? No, because then all of a sudden you're Michigan State at home losing in overtime to James Madison, right? But to give a little credit, I mean, it's been a long time. It's been since Springfield that Illinois has lost a game to somebody they shouldn't early in a season, right? I mean, in terms of a big favorite.
North Florida,
that's right. I was in the Bahamas.
Opening night.
I'll never forget that. I was in the Bahamas, and I'm like, what? Yeah. I saw that come across the screen, and I'm like, thank God I'm nowhere near Champaign-Urbana or Springfield, Illinois.
What a season over there in Springfield.
That was the weirdest thing ever. I mean, that they had to start over there because they were doing all the work to then Assembly Hall, now State Farm Center, but it was like, just so weird. Like, they're playing games in Springfield, then they lose to North Florida, and you're just like...
They lost to Chattanooga as well.
Yes.
They needed a buzzer beater from JCL to beat Chicago State. Boy. After you bring me back to their lawn, last night doesn't mean a thing.
No!
Like, last night is nothing.
That's what I'm here for. I'm here to remind you of the dark ages.
Wow.
Do you remember the shot by DJ Richardson in Hawaii to beat Hawaii?
I do.
And then you turn around and you beat, like, two of the top teams in the country, right? Because you were out there for the Maui.
Yes.
And you played Hawaii in just a different game. I think, was it Hawaii or Chaminade?
I think it was Hawaii.
Yeah, it was Hawaii.
I think they played Chaminade in the Maui.
That's right. That's right. And then, you
know.
A couple
weeks later, you beat Gonzaga at Gonzaga.
So you're like, who's this John Gross that we're needing a last-second shot from DJ Richardson to beat Hawaii?
Yep.
Is how you actually say it. And so then all of a sudden, they go just on this run in the Maui tournament and win the stinking thing. And you're like, oh, well, hold on a second. I guess we're pretty good. No, I think my point is oversimplifying things, but still, you know, to me, it's one of those where they sleepwalk through a lot of that. I've seen it so often out of college basketball teams. You see it out of college football teams sometimes early in a season as well, when they are such an overwhelming favorite. Is that an excuse? No. But I am glad that we were able to see a lot of the other guys, if you will, that are going to, because, I mean, for this team, one of the strengths of this team we know about is depth, and you've got to be able to show that. So for Brad to be able to say, I guess the positive way to look at this is the starters look not very energetic, but yet now you've got depth that comes in and turns the tide. So maybe that happens more often than we think this season. So I don't know.
It's possible. If you oversimplify, let me overcomplicate it real quick.
Okay, that's fair.
So it could very well, and I agree with a lot of what you said there. But I think that we see the carryover effect in terms of the way we look at things.
Now, keep in mind, I listened to the game and didn't watch it. So there's going to be – but no, but
and I'm not going
to help. This is going to help your point, because there's a lot of things where I wasn't watching the effort. I wasn't watching different things that you were able to see.
Yeah, I'm not going overkill here. I think that on the whole, like, in terms of developing habits, I think it's very important, especially we – and this is kind of my point, is there's a carryover in terms of, like, perception and themes and what you look for and what hangs over a program or how you feel things. I mean, the Sweet 16, the pressure to make a Sweet 16 that's on this team, that's on Brad, that's on Illinois, is not from last season. It's not from Brad's tenure alone. It's from the second half of Bruce Weber. It's all of John Gross, and it's Brad Underwood. So then when you look at the fact of last night and you see some alarm bells go off a little bit, you might make a bigger deal out of it because of last year, because of how many times it was like, where are our leaders? Why are we playing flat? Why is the chemistry? Why are things going wonky for a team that's far more talented than how they're playing?
Right.
So what I'm saying is I feel like if this would have been the opener following Illinois, you know, winning the Big Ten title, no one would have probably – be like, yeah, that was ugly, right? But you know, then they won and whatever. But I do think it's important when we saw what happens when a locker room doesn't have a tone setter, doesn't have somebody that's going to right the ship when things aren't going that well. And to Kyle's point, Terrence did that later in the first half.
He did.
But when I see Terrence and Coleman are the faces of this team.
There's no doubt.
Coleman can't have a game like that.
I was wondering if he was playing.
Yeah. That's just,
I'm like, is he in? I haven't heard his name in like 6 miles.
On opening night, when you got NBA eyes on you and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, look, it's easy to sit here from the sideline. We all have bad days. I sit here, they turn the mics on. I'm like, man, I can't say anything. I'm messing stuff up. Kyle's correcting me all the time.
Right. Well, yeah.
And look, that happens. And it doesn't mean that I just blew off the show. It just means I didn't have it
you
that
just
day.
Didn't have it.
But I think Coleman, you're looking to as someone that's going to be a leader and
that's
somebody
fair.
To rely on. Terrence to be an alpha dog and go kill no matter who. I mean, if we want to sit here and say Terrence could be an All-American, Coleman could be a first-round pick, those guys got to be that on pretty much every night.
And you can't pick and choose.
And last night looked pick and choose.
That's fair. Can it come down – can I simplify it one more time? Can it come down to having – a true point guard that just runs the show? I mean, like, I've always wondered this because, like, who's the last really true point guard? Io, right? That was elite.
Yeah.
Trent
did it well his senior year, settled into that role. Mm-hmm.
I just always feel like a team in basketball, I've always put so much importance into a point guard. And I know that basketball is different from where it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago with the idea that there's really not, I mean, you just said it. You're not even going to really talk about point guard anymore because it's just who's bringing the ball up this time. It's It's like, you know, back in circa 90 in the rec at SIU, it's whoever was under the bucket, grabbed it, threw it into the first guy he saw, and you just went up the court, right? I mean, and then you just kind of got into some kind of an offense. So, but then I also, when you look at like, when you look in March, you know, which is, it just always seems like those teams that are really popping are the ones that have those point guards that are just out there, that are just dynamic, and they're hustling, they're getting their team into situations, they're running transition. And it's been a short time now with Illinois not really having that person. How long has it been since Io played? Four? Is this our fourth season after Io or third?
It would be...
Don't tell me 10th or something, because I'll be like, good
third,
Lord.
Third, yeah.
Okay, third. I don't know. And again, I'm fishing for things here on a game that I had to listen to and not watch.
Yeah.
And you won by 28 and were upset.
Right.
But it's like, it's one of those where it just seems like sometimes, like Trent could energize State Farm Center, right? I mean, and Io definitely could. And I mean, you knew what you were watching with him. It was just special. And Trent, you knew what you were watching because you just loved the kid and he just went 100 miles an hour. And it just seems like we don't necessarily have that guy. Sincere's that guy, right? That the last, I know, we'll talk about that. But like last year, who was the kid last year that we were like, oh my gosh, he came in and completely flipped that game. He changed everything. He was a crowd favorite.
Sincere Harris.
Does Illinois have a crowd favorite?
I feel like Terrence needs to be that because he had those moments like Northwestern last year and Michigan late last year where he did do that, where he just took the game over and energized the whole building.
I'm with you.
Doesn't do it consistently.
But like you said, he needs. Like, do we have one? Do we have a person that, I mean, could Dre be that
People
guy?
People hope that Dre Gibbs-Lawhorn will build on that and have a chance to become it.
He was showing it last night, obviously. I watched the YouTube highlights. You know, that's how I got my stuff. I mean, he was just like, give me the ball. Boom. He's shooting. I didn't know he could do that like he did. It's just funny. Like, that was one of the things I thought about last night. Like, we don't really have Sincere's that guy. And now whatever's happening there, which I can't wait to talk to you about at the next segment, we can get to that.
Let's get to that. If you want to weigh in, you can. 217-359-2255 on the U of I Atlanta Lake text line. Imagine for the emotions and the takeaways that we just had there in the first 35 minutes.
By 28.
Imagine the conversations they're having in East Lansing today.
Oh, my goodness.
It could be a lot worse. But this is good for the process. This is good for the warming up of what the season's going to be. There's highs and lows. It couldn't be all good because, like, yesterday we're talking about, I have a really good feeling about this team. I think that they finally break through the Sweet 16. Now it's like, look at the tournament. There's a bunch of point guards, and we don't have one, and they have no life, and there's no leaders. And
I know.
Pets' heads are falling off, but no, they won by 28.
Get me to an Oakland team that battled Ohio State, and then get me to Marquette.
Yes. Yes.
It's these early season games now are just
– yeah.
They're just a dud to me.
They're a bit of a drag. And you just got to take care of business and win. Ultimately, Illinois did that.
Yeah.
And we had to – try to nitpick and find some things in there. And that's the job of Brad Underwood. Brad Underwood's going to go.
Yes,
he's going to be happy knowing that they won, that his bench showed well, and that he can go to practice with some ammo. So I'm sure he's going to be just fine. I think this team's going to be just fine. But there's some things for them, obviously, to clean up. Let us know your thoughts. We're going to talk Sincere Harris, who's elected to redshirt this season. We'll do that next. This is The Drive.
You moved into your new home using two men and a truck. The garage was clean. Then,
I love the new recliner. What are we going to do with this old one?
Put it in the garage for now.
Over time, this cycle continued.
Garage for now. Put it in the garage for now. Put it in the garage for now. Put it in the garage for now.
It happens. You got junk. Call Two Men in a Truck to get rid of all your junk. Residential or commercial, Two Men in a Truck has a solution for your junk removal. Contact them at twomenchampagne.com. Two Men in a Truck.
Hi, it's Stevie J. So I took my mom into Audubon, owned by Jeff Hanley, who owns 13 locations around Central Illinois. She's had so much trouble hearing for so long. Audibel, Audibel, for hearing. And some of the new technologies, they've got AI now for some of these hearing aids, and they're virtually invisible. It's unbelievable, and it helped my mom. It helped her incredibly. We've been to other places. This is by far the best place I've ever been in for hearing help. Go to AudibelTeam.com. That's A-U-D-I-B-E-L. If you want more information about Audibel and how Jeff Hanley and his amazing culture and amazing team that they have, go to AudibelTeam.com. That's A-U-D-I-B-E-L, AudibelTeam.com. You'll be so happy you found Audibel. Amazing work. They got a location in Champaign. Go to AudibelTeam.com. That's AudibelTeam.com.
Crossroads Contractor Supply specializes in the delivery of tools and supplies within a 150-mile radius of Champaign-Urbana. Reliable, timely, and with reasonable prices, Crossroads Contractor Supply knows what equipment and tools are needed for your job. Their slogan, "We have it when you need it." Get the job done right with proper tools and equipment. Did something break? Construction materials as well as safety equipment all available. Call 402-8123. Visit Crossroads Contractor Supply IL.
Illini fans, take the opportunity to head down to Game Day Spirits Green Street location. Shop their awesome selection of Fighting Illini merchandise. While you're there, shop some of their awesome buy one, get one free t-shirt designs, as well as their Nike section and so much more. With new styles coming in daily, there's sure to be something for every Illini fan. Shop them at the corner of 6th and Green in Campus Town. Game Day Spirit, where Illini fans shop.
I'm Justin Eich, co-owner of Fred's Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, Electric, and Underground.
So, Justin, tell me what you see as typical when it comes to sewer repair. Give me a scenario.
Your sewer's backed up and somebody comes along and says, you need this repair for X amount of dollars. Here's my price. And you don't think to go looking for another company or a second opinion because you don't feel like you have time.
So is it possible that you might get charged a little more because it's kind of a desperate moment? Do some companies do that?
Oh, absolutely they will. They know you're in a pinch. Typically, if you call us, me or Will can be out there within an hour to look at that problem for you. Whether you call me first or you call me second, make sure you give me a call.
Anything else, Justin?
You can always trust Fred's.
Great to know. Thank you. That's Justin Eich, the co-owner of Fred's Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Electric, and Underground. If you want more information about this great 45-year family-owned company, just go to fredscu.com. That's fredscu.com. Jeremiah 29:11 states, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." What a comfort we have in this passage, as the Lord is telling Jeremiah, "I care for you and will take care of you." If you are in despair and think you have no hope, pray to the Lord for guidance. See how your life can be changed and the lives of those around you. This message brought to you by the Blossom Basket Florist.
Local, personal, trusted. Hi, this is Atta Durakan with First Federal Savings Bank of Champaign-Urbana, and we've been serving Champaign County since 1908. Our institution is safe, strong, and stable. We operate on a foundation of responsible and sound practices, and you can rest easy knowing we're your bank. Rated 5-star superior by Bauer Financial, Inc., fast, friendly, and local. With local loan decisions and underwriting, if you're not already banking with us, give us a try, and we think you'll love it here. First Federal Savings Bank, 356bank.com, member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS. 435-120.
Get the roof your home deserves by Roof Doctors, your residential roofing specialist that has always offered the best warranties in the industry, like our non-prorated 50-year warranty. Our customers love that we are family-owned and locally operated. We make our customer needs our top priority. With over 30 years experience and the best customer service, give Roof Doctors a call today for your free estimate at 328-7529. In your community and for your community, Roof Doctors.
and bang.
Back in the drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Let's talk about the big news of Sincere Harris electing to redshirt. On the front end of this, I'll kind of set the scene for you. We're sitting in the media room last night. Well, even before that, I mean, he doesn't go in the game. You would have thought that moment where Illinois is down, what are they down? 15 to 6 or something
for him,
like
right?
that. And Illinois is kind of lifeless. It's like, this is Sincere Harris time. He throws them in. He creates some spark play, and all of a sudden the momentum turns. He doesn't play. He doesn't play. He doesn't play. And people are wondering. And then we're sitting in the media room, and we heard Brad over his radio show say that Sincere Harris elected to transfer. I asked Brad last night.
Redshirt, not transfer. Don't scare
everybody. Sorry. I'm just, jeez.
Somebody just nearly crashed their car.
Dump button. God. Yeah, I don't even know.
Are you having a bad day?
I'm tired, man. I stayed up late doing those player grades that no one ever agrees with.
I read them. Do you know how important those are when you don't get a chance to watch the game?
Yeah, man.
Those were important for me today.
Good. I hope I was right. I hope I didn't steer you wrong. But Sincere Harris has elected to redshirt. Here, we'll talk more about what's next. But Brad Underwood, I asked for further clarification on what went into that decision.
Freudian.
Both on Sincere's side and also Brad Underwood's.
He's a really, really good player. And I think one of the things that he understands about his development is that he needs to get stronger. He needs to get bigger. And it's come at a little slower pace for him. And I just think that down the road, there's going to be a, instead of a 10-minute a game guy, there's going to be a 25-minute a game guy who's we know he's a very, very good defender. But there's going to be a guy that adds 15 pounds, 18 pounds. There's going to be a guy that his time will help, and that year will pay off. And then I'm so excited for him on the academic side as well. The opportunity to get put himself in a great position to graduate and then do work beyond. You involve so many people in that decision, and it's not just he and I, and it's you know, family, and you got to talk to people and. You want a sense of where we're at. You know, he's been a great teammate. He's been an unselfish guy that is put himself in a position to that he's always going to play minutes. But I think there's just, you know, he wants to be something special, and to do that he's got to gain weight, and I think that's and continue to grow his offensive game.
Unexpected news. Did not expect to hear that going into last night. I think the underscore here is a lot of people wanted to know, you know, what the heck is going on? What's the underlying thing motivating the decision? How much do we buy into the development in the program? Is this setting up for him to possibly take a step out the door and go somewhere else? But let's start with Illinois. How does this impact the Illini? I think not having that guy, kind of as you touched on, in terms of that igniter, that energy guy. I mean, Illinois' biggest wins last year. I'm not saying he was the only reason for it, but him checking in to then full court press Tiger Campbell against UCLA, him
huge,
really making things tough for Marcus Carr against Texas at the Garden, Boo Booey going nuclear in the first half here in Champaign late in the season, and then Brad decides to put Sincere on him in the second half, and obviously that made things a lot tougher. Illinois rallies in a big comeback. That is what you're going to miss. And the staff did not want him to redshirt. Brad gave the indication that this was entirely Sincere's decision. He, of course, would love to have the opportunity to plug Sincere in there. And that's what I think that they love about this roster, is that based on a challenge on a given night or a certain circumstance, they can shuffle their lineup to then answer that. They think that, you know, they want more shooters, they'll probably play Damask and Good together at the same time. They want more size, they can play Dane at the five, they can play a big lineup with Gary Ayer at the four. They can just do a number of different things. They want an offensive punch. Maybe they'll just throw Gibbs Lawhorn and say, go score. And defensively, energy-wise, Sincere was that guy for them. So they're going to miss that. They're going to miss that for sure. So why is he redshirting? I think it's pretty clear. You look back at the Kansas game, he plays 8 minutes. He plays 11 against Ottawa. That was the lowest of any of the scholarship dudes that got in the game. He wants to play more minutes. He says that, I got 4 years of eligibility. I played one last year. I played 15 minutes a game. This year, I do not see a clear path to play maybe even that many.
Right.
Definitely not more than that this season. So I want to, in trying to maximize my eligibility, I want to play more minutes. So I don't currently see myself in a situation to do that. So I want to, for personal reasons, to work on my game.
Yeah.
Better myself. I know he knows and he recognizes there's guys ahead of him.
Yep.
Like Justin Harmon's come in and you know he's more offensively capable. He's more experienced. Draven Gibbs-Lawhorn's coming on. And those are guys on the off the bench. Like we already know Terrence is starting and you got Damask and on down the line. So I think that he isn't feeling great about his current situation based on his own wants. And he wants to take a step back and work on his game. And I think the bigger question, and look, it's the elephant in the room, and I'm not going to dodge it. My first thought when I heard this is he prepping to then, at the semester, go mid-year transfer somewhere, sit out a semester, and then prepare for his next stop, 3 years in, under his belt, and a chance at a clear path to a roster. I think that's still something you're going to have to wait and see. I can't sit here and tell you with 100% certainty he's going to do that. I don't think it's entirely off the table. I think it's very much up in the air. And I think Illinois, the people inside the building over there are wondering long-term, you know, are we going to have Sincere Harris or not? I think they respect his decision to develop and they like his upside, but that – there's a question. I think he had a question going into this offseason. You know, what's my role going to look like? He wanted to play more minutes. It didn't work out that way. A lot of guys, usually you don't hear of, number one, it's an interesting and kind of uncommon circumstance to play a year redshirt and then stay at that same place. So is that going to happen? And I'll let you go. I'm dancing all over this, but there's a lot of different things to kind of highlight here.
There's so many layers to this. It is a strange thing to play a year and then redshirt. It's even stranger in my mind to start the season. Like you've played, I know there were exhibitions, but you've played three games and then all of a sudden we're going to redshirt. When in the old system, before the portal came around and all that, I think we would be praising Sincere Harris right now today, saying, you know what, this is a young man that realizes he's not going to get a lot of play this season. Is he valuable? Yes. Did we see that last year? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But that value that he showed last year even came in spurts.
Yes.
It wasn't because he was playing 33, 4 minutes a game. It was that he would come into a game and change it. Now, he was a freshman. He probably loved that role. He probably thought, hey, I'm a freshman. What right do I have to say that I should be playing 32 minutes a game for a power one or whatever you call it, a team, you know? I mean, he probably embraced that role.
Mm-hmm.
Now he wants minutes and then now looks at it and says, I'm not going to get those. I'm still in the same role that I was last year. Marquette coming up might be the perfect time for Brad to throw me in and say, change the tune, go guard that point guard that's one of the, maybe the best point guard in the country, change a little bit of this game, stop him from doing what he's doing. Maybe Sincere says to himself, I don't want to waste a second year by only playing spurts.
Mm-hmm.
So again, in the old system, I think I'd be praising him saying, you know, I give this kid credit. They recruited over him in the transfer portal, which is now the new thing. And for Sincere to sit here and say, well, wait a minute, why are you getting Justin Harmon? You've got me. Why are you getting this guy? You've got me. So for that to happen, he's in his mind saying, I'm not wasting another year of my, and honestly, even if he does transfer, if that's, you know, like you said, the monkey in the room, even if he does, I give kudos to him because he's not going to waste another season of playing 10 minutes a game. He's going to continue. I mean, who's going to be the benefactor? Is there anything in Sincere's game that says he's going to play in the NBA one day? I don't see it.
No.
Maybe you do. And
I mean,
and
he's a decent
you.
Athlete.
Yeah.
And he's got a great competitive motor about him.
Oh, there's no doubt.
If he could turn into a shooter, mm-hmm. which, I mean, he's got a long way to go.
Oh.
If he could be an adequate shooter, then we're talking about a guy can be a pro, maybe not an NBA player, but a guy that has a professional career playing basketball.
And admittedly, I don't understand the NBA. I mean, guys that I think should be no-brainers aren't even drafted. So maybe Sincere is a guy that would be. But and like you said, there's a lot of layers to this thing. You asked the impact. I think it will have an impact on this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you could see that immediately against Marquette next Tuesday. A week from today, you could see where you would need Sincere Harris in that game. So will it have an impact? Yes. I also, though, give the kid credit, whether or not he's – I mean, next year, we just talked about at the break, you got four new starters next year on this team. Maybe he's eyeing that. Maybe he's saying, you know what? I want to be able to start next year and have three more years plus be stronger. And like Brad said, put himself academically. I don't know where that's at, you know, but now – kids that can stay, you know, an extra year by redshirting, they can get their master's degree. That's huge.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe for a kid that might not play in the NBA. So maybe he gets his master's degree and now he's going out into the world with a master's degree from Illinois. That's huge. So I think it will have an impact. I'm gonna choose to give him kudos for looking at the big picture and saying, I'm stepping back and I'm gonna take a year off because what's this gonna do for me? And we as fans want him out there. We love the kid. Yes. We know what he can do, but it's not our choosing. And I give him credit. In a day and age where nobody redshirts, maybe he's the smart one. I mean, nobody redshirts anymore.
I appreciate, there's no patience in college sports
anymore.
They just
move. They just go to another. Yeah. And he might do that. He may do that. But I give him credit for saying, I'm not going to – I mean, I use the analogy of Andrew as a freshman. I'll make this quick. He dressed varsity in basketball, but he never played. Well, obviously in high school, you're not redshirting and you're doing, but if you had that ability, it'd be great to just say, hey coach, I appreciate what you're doing for him. He's learning a lot. He's being around a lot of veterans, but I don't want him just wasting a year. I want him to redshirt. So he has 4 years of doing that. So I could see that. Maybe his parents are like, Sincere, just take the year and then get better.
Yeah.
So,
and I will say, in terms of gauging the – I know we got to catch a break here.
Yes.
We got Luke Goody coming up at the top of next hour. But the gauge that I've got, it's not like, you know, this has been a guy – it's been obvious every time you go into Ubbin, this guy's checked out, his foot's out the door, he doesn't want to be here.
It's Brad, almost the opposite.
Brad rubbed him the wrong way type of thing. Like, none of that seems to be the case. It just seems like he wants to play more. He realized where he stood in the pecking order. He could have helped you this year.
Big time.
And I think the staff is still kind of wincing, like, man, we know there'll be games that we
– Yep.
Tyson Walker comes to town.
You hope Justin Harmon can play that role.
You hope that some other guys can step up in that.
Who is the stopper for Illinois?
We'll see. We shall see.
Kyle needs –
You have some guys that it should be, but
– Yeah. And you can, and they may emerge. I don't know.
Yeah. No, this isn't going to derail Illinois season or anything, but we'll talk more about this. We got some questions to weigh in as far as the text line goes. Luke Goody coming up at the top of next hour. Stick with us for that. This is The Drive.
Want unbeatable prices on your next furniture purchase, but also seeking that local hometown feel? Look no further than Kelsey Furniture in Tuscola. Customers rave about their friendly, established staff, as well as their great selection, amazing prices, and second-to-none delivery service. They're a third-generation local business, and they've always got your best interests at heart. Find the look you love for less. Open 9 to 5 Monday through Saturday, but always available on